Y'all good? You're good. It's good to see everybody. I'm glad you're here. We got a house full again. It's wonderful to have you here today. There's a couple people. I'm going to probably get in trouble for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. If I get in trouble, I get in trouble. If I miss somebody, I'm sorry. But y'all, David Ray is in the house today. David, it's been maybe a year, I guess, since he's been able to physically be here. And I've just prayed and prayed, and we had a good visit a couple weeks ago. And I think it was my visit, brother, that got you here. That's what it is. I don't know what it is. But it was great. It's great to see you. And I noticed a silhouette come through the back door earlier. The captain is in the house, sitting right back over here. He's done moved off to Chattanooga or something. I don't know, man. But I miss you, brother. I miss all you guys when you're not able to be here. And I hope I don't miss anybody doing that, but those are people I haven't seen in so long and been able to be here, and it's just a blessing. I want to reiterate what Brandon said in the video, and that is that next Sunday is our Legacy Sunday. And you guys have heard about this. Our partners have heard about it. I know over and over and over again. It's the first Sunday of November. We did this last year, and we're going to do it again this year. This year, specifically, we're raising money this year to buy new chairs for our auditorium and to buy us a baptistry, y'all. Central Church of Christ has been so gracious to let us use their baptistry anytime we need it and show up down there and provide everything. And so we're hoping to have our own very, very soon. If you want to know what the new chairs are going to look like, you can see one next to my office right as you come in the front doors. I left that label hanging on it so nobody would, like, take it. I want to sit in this chair. It looks brand new because it is. They sent us a sample chair, so that's what it looks like, and you can sit in it and check it out. And it's much like what we have. It's just the color's right, and it's new. Thank God for the Christian church that donated these chairs to us 6 years ago. And we've had them ever since. And the guy told me, he said, just use them as long as you need them. So I'm about to call him and hopefully tell him soon that, hey, man, you can have your chairs back. But I really appreciate them for doing it, my brother Glenn Mead. I don't know what is going on in your life. But I can tell you that my life ebbs and flows in and out of chaos, it seems like. It's like one day I have a great day, the next day I have a chaotic day. And sometimes I'll have two good days and then a chaotic day. Every now and then I'll have three in a row and then a chaotic day. Some days I have a chaotic week. Sometimes I get in my own head and I get in my own place and my space. And my own self is my worst enemy most of the time. And I don't know if you experience any of that, if any of that relates to you. But this last series, I said last week it would be the last series, and then Brandon did the news and put that out that this was going to be you asked for it as well. Actually, this message is I asked for it. This is one from... And so last Monday, Tabitha and I was sitting in my office, was working on a few things, and eating a biscuit or something, and just chatting, and I don't know what happened. I do know what happened. It's God. But just in that moment, have you ever had a moment of, like, the most pure peace you could describe? And it just comes out of nowhere. It's like you're in this craziness. And then all of a sudden, it's like God says, I want you to feel what it's going to be like when you get here where I am. Really where I am. And I described it like this. This is a really weird illustration to describe it. If you've ever been put to sleep in a hospital for a surgery or something, It's that feeling you get right as the meds hit your veins, and you just feel that. And then 3 seconds later, after a 4-hour surgery, you wake up. That's what it feels like to you. And in that time, in that moment, you just feel like that there's just nothing to think about. I experienced that, and I wish I could say that that feeling lasted all week long. I don't think we live in a world where that feeling is going to continue to last. I really don't. And I don't mean that we have to be drab and upset about something all the time and bad things have to keep happening over and over and over again and all of that. But we just live in a broken world. You guys know that. You live in it. Sometimes your family feels like it's all broke. Sometimes you feel like you're broke yourself. And sometimes you're just broke, right? And then sometimes it's just, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen next. And you have all these questions. And
ultimately things are going to be fine because we're going to go see Jesus one day, y'all. Come on, y'all. That's the ultimate, right? That's the ultimate excitement that we have. One day we're not going to have to worry about anything, period, in the conversation. And so in moments like that where I sit, it's very advantageous for me to start writing. I don't know about you, I don't know what you do in those moments. Maybe you just bask in it for a little bit. And I just started thinking and writing, and what you're about to hear, this message kind of flowed from that moment. And it's been flowing in and out all week long, and just got me thinking about what was I going to say. And my ask for it is to have anything I wanted, to get me a wish list, you know, the old genie in a bottle, three wish thing. One of the things I wish for would be complete peace. Money won't do it. The best job on the planet won't do it, because I have that. The best spouse in the world. I have a wonderful, amazing spouse. The best. She's awesome. She's amazing. She's frantic this morning because she lost her wallet this morning. She couldn't find her wallet. So there you go, right? We ebb and flow with peace and out of peace. And the moments where we have a great time, and then it's not a great time. We don't know what we're going to do in that moment. So you're living that life. And I am too. And I hope today to bless you. Can I start with a conclusion? Here's the conclusion, that all peace comes from being still and letting God control. There it is. Thank y'all for coming. What you wish, right? There was a moment in the disciples' life where you could have offered them all the money in the world. You could have offered them anything they wanted in the world. All they wanted was peace in the moment. You can read about it in Mark 4. In fact, I'm going to read it to you now. Some of this is in your notes. I couldn't squeeze it all in. Some of it's in your notes. Hey, before I go any further, can we just welcome all of our new people? Hey, I'm sorry, guys. New faces every week, and thank you for being here. Let's go ahead and welcome our online church. We love you guys. Love you. Awesome. And I usually start out with that, but I just have this on my heart, so glad you're here. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross the other side of the lake." By the way, when evening came, it was after a day, a couple of days really, of Jesus healing people and casting out demons and working. And he was tired. He was ready to stop being with people for a while. And Jesus did that on a regular basis. He said, "Let's cross the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. Check it out. Although other boats followed. Wherever Jesus was, that's where they wanted to be, and I don't blame them. But soon a fierce storm came up, as it happened on the sea, and waves were breaking into the boat and began to fill it with water. And Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on the cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care what's going to happen? Wake up! Don't you feel like, come on, take care of this something?" You know, they cried out to him, "We're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the winds and the waves, and he said, "Peace, be still." The word peace here means silence. Shh. Quiet. Be still. Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And he asked him, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? I mean, come on, guys. You just saw me cast out demons. I mean, you saw me lay my hands on people and heal people. You see me do all these things, and you still don't believe I can stop this thing?" The disciples were absolutely excited and elated that Jesus was in the boat. No, the Bible says they were terrified. Someone with that kind of power, that in the moment of a storm could just go, "Peace, be still," and the winds and waves obey. That's the kind of Jesus I want to be. They were afraid. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." Some of you right now are in that boat. Not physically, maybe, but you're in that boat. And in the moment of time, when you've got job loss, or family issues, or personal problems, or sickness, or pain, or worry, or whatever it is, God is not in heaven going, "Oh, no." He's not worried one little bit about it. He's not fretting. He's not afraid. He is right where he needs to be. He knows exactly the end from the beginning. Someone said in a small group, maybe at y'all's house on that, we saw about, you know, God says,
God, Jesus says, God, he knows what's happening. We know. We get a little fearful sometimes about that. Some of you are right there. He knew that he had authority over those things. And listen, he is ready in your life, anytime you're ready, to take over the authority of your life and give you peace. Keith, the same thing. He is ready and he is waiting. But you know, in the moment you're in right now, nobody seems to be able to help. You can't talk to anybody. You can't think it out. You can't calm it out. You can't. Some of you are trying to smoke it out or snort it out or drink it out or pour it out or eat it out or whatever you're doing, whatever you're trying to do, it's not working. And you don't know what to do anymore. If that's where you are, you're in a perfect spot in your life to cry out to Jesus and let him calm the things that are in your life that are completely out of your control anyway. And that's what I'm having to learn. Notice I didn't say I've learned it. I'm having to learn that there's so many things in my life that just aren't in my control, even things that I think ought to be. And I have to let that go. Here's some thieves of your peace. One is that most of us, or many of us, are seeking validation from other people. We're seeking validation from things in our life like Facebook and social media, whatever it is, whatever your social media preference is. We're looking for likes and friends. Notice how our idea of friendship has changed in our culture. We're looking for those kinds of moments in our lives where someone else likes our posts or posts on our posts. And by the way, I did a little study on this week, and I found out that statistically, if you're a person with deep purpose in your life, like if God is the center of your life, and you know that you have him, and you know nothing else anybody says is going to be bothering you or whatever, when people either like or don't like your posts, you don't let it bother you. But people with no purpose or less purpose, they let it get on them because that's where they see their validation. And it don't even have to be social media. It can be in a moment when you say something to somebody and you think that they should have said something back to you or they ought to have said something to you that they didn't say and you get all bent up out of shape about it. That's Keith. That's me. And I will make myself stomach sick because you didn't react the way I think you should. Maybe it is just me, but I want to tell you, it's a rotten place to be. And I don't like it, seeking my validation from somebody else. Another thing is fear. Some of you don't do anything because you're afraid you're going to mess it up or that you're going to fail at it. Success doesn't teach you anything. Failure teaches you everything. So move. Take a step. Launch out in faith and do something. Stop being so fearful. And then another thief is, the first thief is seeking validation. Another one is fear. The third one is comparison. Comparison will steal your peace. And if you're in a business where you're trying to jump up the ladder and you're having to feel like you got to step on somebody else to do that kind of thing, and you're fearful that if they get something before you do, then they're all, you know, they're going to be better than you and so on, then you're in a place of comparison. And we talked about this with spiritual gifts. Don't compare your gift to somebody else and say, I wish I had their gift. Don't do that. Magnify God in your gift and enjoy that. Comparison keeps our best for God at bay. Comparison keeps our best. Always thinking that, well, I'm not good enough. I'm never good enough. You got to stop it. So how do we fix all of this? Just three quick points today. The first one is that God's validation brings me peace. Not mine, not yours. My own validation of myself doesn't bring me peace because I will always be harder on myself than you will be. God's validation is what gives us peace. I wrote this down on that Monday. I want to remember that it is God who validates me. I desire validation from people. That's okay, by the way. We want to desire, you know, wanting words of affirmation, encouragement. That's a natural thing. But to gain it, we desire validation from people, but that usually disappoints me. I wrote on, sometimes they go ahead and validate me. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. But even when they do, it should only be a confirmation that God has me right where he wants me. When people validate you, don't puff yourself up and go, well, look at me. Puff God up and say, look what God has me in. Look what God is doing me in. What God has let me do. What has God let me be? And so on. My validation is wrapped up in me because he has me right where he wants me. That's your sense of purpose. If somebody don't like your post, so be it. Because God loves you. I love you. Church is supposed to be a place of validation. Not that we get it wrapped up in each other, but we are to love one another. God says the first commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is to love each other as we love ourselves. Love other people as we love ourselves. I love what the scripture says in Ephesians 1, like a lot of what he says in Ephesians, but Ephesians 1, 4 to 5, scripture says, even before he made the world, God loved us and he chose us in Christ. So when you're in Christ, that means that God has chosen, that's his way of choosing the people who's going to be with him one day. He says, even before he made the world, Christ had to die. And he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. You know you're not in your own eyes. You might not be in my eyes. But in his eyes, you're completely without fault. Somebody ought to say praise God right there. That is a place where we get so used to hearing that Jesus died for our sins and we're perfected in him. And we hear that all the time so much as believers that we forget how important that really is. It's really all that matters, to be honest with you. So to be holy without fault in us, God decided in advance to adopt you as his own family. We're brothers and sisters. God is our father. And he's not the kind of father maybe you had that didn't take care of you, didn't do it. He's the kind of father that's always there. When you can't count on anybody else on the planet, all you got to do is say, Lord, and he inclines his ear. Yes, son. Yes, daughter. That's the kind of God we have. That's the validation that I have. He has decided in advance to adopt us by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he, check it out, wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. God didn't just say, oh, Adam and Eve messed up. Now I got to go fix it. He didn't do that. He said, look at Keith down there wallowing around in his little pity party. And having, he said, I've already fixed that. It's already done. It has already taken place. Listen to me, son, and let me validate you because I have great pleasure. I love helping you through that. Isn't it interesting that oftentimes, the first person we neglect when it comes to our own stupidity is God, the one who created us and the one who gave us the opportunity to live and to breathe and to have life. The one that gave us any good thing that's ever come in your life is coming from him. It's all coming from him, and he's the first thing we neglect. Things that are connected to him we neglect first. Don't want to go there. Let's keep this on the positive side. I want deep peace. And I need deep purpose in him. I love what I do. And you guys make it easy and fun and enjoyable 99.999% of the time. But I don't get my validation by standing on this stage. This is a privilege. This is an honor that we get to stay up. This is an honor that you get to come into a place and serve God and worship him without fear of anything. It's an honor to sit in these chairs and praise our Father. It is an honor and a privilege that we as Americans take for granted that people are trying to rip out from under us. There are hundreds of thousands of people all over the world every day who are dying because they say Jesus is Lord. And we get all tore up. And won't come to church if we got a headache or a backache or we got whatever. We get so bent up in our own stuff. Now, I'm preaching. I'm sorry, but it's just true. You need deeper purpose. You need deeper purpose in your life. If everything in your life is about everything but God, then your purpose is going to fall one day. It just is. I love you too much not to tell you that. I remember when my kids were little and some of the things that I would do because they didn't get what I wanted them to have, and I'd get so angry and frustrated and all that stuff, but what I wanted them to have wasn't really all that important, to be honest with you. What they have that matters most is they have faith. The rest of it's really garbage. That's all it is. I got to move. Number two, another way to crush fear. First one was validation. Second one was fear. You remember that? See, God's authority crushes fear. God's authority crushes all fear, no matter what it is in your life. He crushes all fear. Submitting to the authority of the Lord means that he has us and there's really nothing to fear. That's why the disciples were in the, oh, what's going to happen? Jesus! Why do you guys just not have faith? It's almost, and I didn't study this deeply in that story, but it's almost like Jesus was saying to them, if you'd had enough faith, you could have said, peace, be still, and it would have stopped. That may not be theologically sound. Y'all can check me back on that. Jesus said, you do greater works than I will. You remember? He said he did some pretty awesome stuff. He said, you'll do greater stuff than I did because of authority. Scripture says God, and this is the first, by the way, when I had my little peace moment and I started searching scripture, this was actually the first scripture that came to me. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So, we will not fear. Look at your neighbor and say, I ain't scared. I won't be scared when the earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble and the waters surge. It's almost like the psalmist is saying, bring it on, trouble. I'm bowed up because I have God in my life. And I don't think David or any of the guys that wrote the Bible or any of us in this room, and certainly not your pastor, are looking for trouble. Okay? I'm not saying, what I just said is just what could have been. It's almost like David is saying, let the mountains roar. Let the earthquake. Let these things happen because I still have God as my Father. I'm not asking for persecution. I'm not asking for pain. And no one wishes trouble on themselves. We even pray against it. The prayer of Jabez says, I don't want any trouble or pain. And I pray it every day. I don't want that. The but of that is that when it does come, we run to God as our refuge, not anything else. Not anything else. He's the one with the authority, and he's the one with the power to take care of this. And then the last point is this. God's grace destroys envy. You know, I told you that the third thief of one of the thieves of a peace was comparison. Y'all know what really comparison is at the very seat of it? At the very bottom line of comparison is envy. Envy. And we say stuff like, oh, yeah, he's just green with envy. He would love to have that car. He's just green with envy. He would love to have that. And you fill in the blank. You see, envy is not just desiring stuff. Envy has nothing. It's not just desiring things. Envy is looking at somebody else's possessions, attributes, so their skill maybe. It's looking at somebody else's and saying, I want his skill and I don't want him to have it. That's envy. And I'm going to tell you, comparison can smack at that a whole lot. There is nothing in the world wrong. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. There's nothing at all wrong with having great mentors and people that are following Jesus and emulating what they do. I love John Maxwell as a leader and a teacher of leadership. I don't know him from Adam's house cat personally, but I read a lot of his stuff, and I love it. He mentors me through leadership, so I follow that. So, but I don't envy John to say, I wished I had his gift and he didn't have it. I just want to learn from it. Just want to grow from it. And that's the kind of desire it's okay for us to have. Not getting what somebody else says. David said this in the Psalms. And by the way, Psalm 37, they're all great, but I just fell in love with this Psalm during this week. Scripture, it says it this way. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. It's almost like we do, right? Man, I wish I had their money. Or at least I had their talent or their ability or whatever. For like grass, they will soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they will soon wither. Because he says later in the psalm, he says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of your life. If you think for a moment that God is like bored with you and that he's tired of hearing the same prayers over and over and over again, and that he don't want to be bothered with anything, come on, y'all. God is excited about every detail of every one of our lives. He loves you enough to be interested in everything that you're interested in. One of the greatest things I've learned about heaven is we get to take a lot of stuff with us to heaven. Not stuff, but things that are in our heart. If you love to do certain things, heaven's going to get it ramped up for you. And I think sometimes we envy so much of this. This is a broken world, and we envy it. Think of what's going to happen when we get to heaven, and there is no envy, and everybody's all like enjoying the time that we're going to have to learn and to grow and to encourage one another and to laugh together and to not have any of this pain and stuff that's there. It's going to be amazing. And David is saying, why don't you just, the Lord directs the steps. He delights in every detail. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. What a beautiful picture that is. So one of my grandchildren come up and say, come on, Papa, and I grab my hand. Come on. It's intimacy, man. And when I am at my worst, I'm so mad because it happened to me again this morning. I get so mad at myself. I get so like, I just, and my kids know my anger can get crazy. But I'm just sincerely angry at myself that I let so many little things get in the way. You know, my worship is so amazing today because it took me out of it. Worship is not about just, we allow to magnify our Father, but when we do that, it takes us to a place that we do not want to return from. Get in here with you guys and I start preaching like this and teaching and get excited. Like, we had our meeting yesterday with our team leads and it was just so good and so exciting. And I leave the meeting and the devil jumps on me then. And I failed yesterday. And he jumps on me this morning and I failed this morning. Is that you? Please somebody tell me it happens to you too. All this is so bad, but God. Oh, goodness. I get the tears out so I can read the rest of this stuff. I heard a song this week from Hillsong, and then it had a line called Where Grace and Faith Align, Where Faith and Grace Align. I didn't even know what that meant. So I Googled it, and the first thing that came up was the song I listened to, the lyrics. But I started studying a little bit about faith and grace aligning and what that actually means. Did you know that God saved the whole world? Did y'all know that? I grew up in a church that said he only saved a few of us, and some of y'all just, I'm sorry, you're done. I'm not teaching universalism because God don't save everybody, but God did save the world. Jesus gave his life for the world. That means the person that you can't stand, God died for them. Jesus died for them. That means the person that you want them to go to hell. You may have even said, you go to hell. By the way, that's not something I wish on my worst enemy. But you may have said that or thought it about somebody. God died for them too. Jesus did. And God so loved the world that he gave Jesus so it could happen. And God loves us enough to give us the Holy Spirit to stay in us. And those people that we get so fretful over, we don't like, we're uncomfortable around this. I don't know what's wrong with you, man. I don't know where you came from or whatever. God, he gave Jesus for them too. So how does faith and grace align? The difference between us who are in Christ and the people who are not is that God saved them, but they're lost because they haven't accepted the gift. Hence the reason we exist. There's barely any empty seats in the room. And if you guys will give next week, we'll fix that problem. I don't say, yeah, if you will, we'll fix that problem. We'll fill up this room with more seats than any we could possibly fill up. And when we fill those up, we'll go to two services so we can empty some more seats. You know why? Because heaven is real, and heaven is real, and I want more people in heaven than I want in hell. I said heaven and heaven twice, but heaven and hell are both real. And I want to see so many people go with us. I'll see you there. And I will. One more verse. Passage. This is my prayer. It's Paul's prayer for us. And it's why we're playing the song we are right now. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I pray from his glorious, unlimited resources. That's what God has. That he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. The only way I'm standing right now is because I have an inner spirit in me. I have a spirit inside of me called Holy Spirit who is strong within me. Or I wouldn't be standing up here. I'll be honest with you. 10 minutes before service started, y'all didn't see me, did you? Because I was in a room hunkered down praying. Because I was getting in my own head. I'm not trying to make myself out to be anything. And I certainly don't want to freak you out by my emotion. It's not, this is just who I am. I'm sorry. And then I'm not. He says the inner strength is through the Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Did you notice he said, as you trust him? This relationship with Christ is we just make it a formula, right? Just hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, or just say the sinner's prayer. If you'll just do this, this, and this, God will come in your life and you'll have him. Y'all, this is a process. I get saved every day. Every day. Every day. And he says, as you are trusting in him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong, and you may have the power to understand all of God, as all of God's people should. Did you hear that? There's something that we should all know. And the only way we can do that, I do this backwards thing with a word, is as our hearts are trusting him and we are filled with the Spirit, we continue to know more and more and more this thing, and that is how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. When Paul gets into these modes, man, he just writes sentence after sentence. Oh, how wide and how amazing and how awesome our God is. And he's just, it's almost like he's, and I know Paul didn't even pen a lot of his own stuff. He had somebody do it for him. And I can imagine Paul in the room doing like I'm doing. And the guy says, slow down, man. Wait a minute. I just, you know. How long, how wide, how high his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. And that's what, come on, prayer team, come on up. I want you to experience today the love of Christ and nothing else. Nothing else. Because honestly, nothing else matters. Experience the love of Christ. Though he says it's too great to understand, Paul said, I want you to experience something that's really too big for you to understand. Okay. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. My deepest peace comes from Holy Spirit time. He's in me. And if there's nothing in the world worth more, nothing, than to have him inside. You're being prayed over right now. These men and women who stand around this room during worship, by the way, it's okay to go to pray with them then. We hadn't really announced that much, but you can. They're here because God has anointed them with the Holy Spirit, and their gift is prayer. And they want to pray with you. And we're going to sing this song that we're going to welcome Holy Spirit into this place. You say, well, I think he's already here. You really, the Holy Spirit's everywhere at the same time because he's omnipresent. He's God. Okay. I give you that. But I want you to see and to experience and to understand. You may not have a feeling. You may just say, Lord, I need you. I need all that you have. I've asked God God, I want everything that you have for me. I just want him to know he's welcome. And for years, I put my hand up to him. No, you can come close, but that's as close as you can come. Take the hand down and let him come. Temptation is to resist. Please stop. God, I thank you so much for this moment and this time right now. God, may you be praised. May you be honored by every profession of faith today, by every acceptance of who you are, by every heart that's open just a little bit more to be closer and closer to you, God. I pray defeat of the enemy in Jesus' name in every situation in this room right now, Father. For people who are struggling in relationships, I pray over them, God. I pray victory. I pray that those relationships will be centered and solidified in your validation and yours alone. God, I pray for open spirits for fathers toward their children, that they will not close off anymore and be pushing away and be afraid of things, Father. I pray that the fathers will open their hearts to their children. God, I pray right now for the children that need to open their hearts to the Father. God, I pray right now that you will defeat any kind of peer pressure or issue or anything that's in their life, God. I pray that right now. I pray for the atheists that might be listening to this right now that has no idea what's going on in their heart, but they're being stirred, God. I pray right now that you will speak into their life and let them sense your presence and know that this is not of Keith. This is not of Discovery Church. This is straight from you, God. I pray that anybody online listening right now, God, will open their heart up wherever they are and they will receive your peace, that no matter what kind of chaos they're in their life, in this moment, that they will stop and acknowledge you as the Creator, the one and only, the beginning and the end, the Almighty, the El Shaddai, the Healer. Father, I pray that they will acknowledge you in this moment more than ever in their whole life, and they will turn their life to you. God, for people in this room, for the moms in this room who need to stop worrying about things and being fearful about things, God, I pray over that right now that you will take the worry away in Jesus' name. I pray for husbands and wives who were just, they came to the building today, but they were upset at each other for something. God, I pray that you will set them free in Jesus' name right now, that you will speak, Father, life into their marriage, that you will, Father, I pray for that husband to break down the wall, for the wife to break down the wall, to open their heart up, Father, to you, and to open up like never before so that they can experience the kind of marriage that you set up on this world, God. In Jesus' name, I pray against the enemy who keeps reminding me over and over again that I am not adequate, God. He is not welcome in my life or in the lives of these people, Father. As pastor of this church, I pray in the power of the Spirit of God right now, Father, that you would release garbage in people's lives, the fearful stuff over disease, people who are hurting that we don't even know about, Father. I pray healing and blessing in Jesus' name for them, God. I pray for our church as we move forward, God. Keep us unified. Father, release any kind of issue, whether it's disunity or gossip or anger or frustration or anything that might be in the way, God. I pray that we will go forward unified and that relationships that may have been hurt or even severed, God, can come back together and be strong and show you and show our enemy and show our world what loving each other is really all about. I pray for our shepherds as they lead. I pray for our trustees as they lead. I pray for our team leads as they lead. I pray for our children's ministry teachers. God, I pray for our kids that come in this room and come in this building, Lord. I just pray that all they'll know from this place, at least, is that Jesus is real and he's strong in their life. Father, I just thank you so much for giving us the wisdom that you have and giving us the words you have, God. As we leave here today, God, I want to praise you and honor you for this moment in time, this dream come true, this fruit that we get to see. Oh, God, you're amazing. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I honor you for it. I praise you for it. Hope today that you'll go out of here and you'll take the Spirit out of here into the world, into your relationships and everything. If you have any questions, if you're new with us, please do fill the connection card out. I would hope that you would do that. Give us as much information as you want. We promise not to bug you, but we do want to connect with you. And for those of you who have joined new teams and getting on board and getting ready, we're proud of you. Thank you so much. And I don't want to leave, so I'm going to hush so y'all can leave. love you. God bless you. Y'all have a great rest of your Sunday, okay? You're dismissed.